Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, it is Steve. I am here and happy to be here. September 30th, Friday, last day of September. Once again, moving right through this old year, here we go. You know, I just say, and by the way, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mark Cameron are here with me. Hi, guys.
Hello,
Hi, Steve. Hi, Jill. Hello.
The older you get, life becomes this. Do the fireworks for the July. Put up the Christmas lights. Take down the Christmas lights. Fire off the fireworks for the July. I mean, it's just...
I just leave the Christmas lights outside, I just plug in.
I always wondered why people did that. Well, it's just so fast the older you get.
Okay,
anyway.
And you know, Dave Stoop used to talk about that all the time. He goes, just wait, Jill. It gets faster. I'm like, oh, no.
It's just true. He did know that. He knew that, and he knew why. He and Henry used to talk about why time goes so quickly the older you get. Anyway... 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you need help, you can be on radio, 1-800-229-3000, and a lot of times we just have a little chit-chat here, but I've got a bunch of phone calls right here, and I want to go to those calls, and I'm going to talk with Sue from Colorado Springs, Colorado, great station KGFT. Hi, Sue, how are you today? What's going on?
I'm blessed, thank you.
Good. What's not blessed that you're calling us about?
Yeah. Well, I've been married for 29 years, and I'm considering separation from my husband. To my knowledge, there's no infidelity, but, you know, that's been a long time, and so we've gone through a lot in our marriage. I think that ultimately where I'm at right now, and then I'll give you some details, is that I'm just really stuck right now with a lot of mindset issues. I've been trying to get him to go to counseling and stuff. We've had some really rough years. And
well, what's his problem? What's the big problem?
Yeah.
With
him? Well, mostly I just feel you know, we've been through pornography, which he never admitted until he had already gotten through it. I've been through like religious abuse with him. So where he would use the Bible against me.
How did he do that?
Well, no matter what I did, he would get in my face and say, "You're going to submit to me. You will submit to me." And it didn't matter what I did. He called
by
me
the
a
way,
feminist, which
by,
I'm not.
By the way, the Bible doesn't just say that you should submit to him. You know what it says? It says in Ephesians,
his wife like Christ loved the church.
Well, yes, it says that. But before it says submit and him to love you, you submit to him love you. It says this, Ephesians 5:21. Submit yourselves one to another out of reverence for Christ. See, it's a mutuality. And doesn't that make sense? Mm-hmm. Would Jesus ever want there to be a dictator and a doormat kind of relationship? No, there's mutual love, mutual respect, mutual submission. Submit yourselves one to another. About 43 words in that chapter on submission. About 90 words on the man's need to die to himself the way Christ died for the church. Now, that's not very easy to do. No wonder men who don't want to die to themselves focus on your need to submit. It's too bad that people have gotten that so wrong. Fred Stoker and I wrote Every Man's Marriage, and it is a book on mutual submission. You probably, some of you are thinking, well, this guy's a heretic. Women's supposed to submit. Yes. And if a woman finds a man that is dying to himself every day, that's somebody to submit to, because it'll be a mutual submission.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. And we're talking with Sue. 28 years married, and you want to separate because he's been spiritually abusive, and you told us about that. He's never really done anything about the pornography, is that right?
No, he got through it on his own, but he never told me about it. So, different times through our relationship, you know, I kind of reached this point where I just saw he was just very, very selfish. And I finally just told him one day, I was like, I don't love you anymore. And this was several years ago, and since then, we separated bedrooms, we split bedrooms, and he just became really, really awful, like, just multiplied in his behavior really negatively.
Yeah.
And so I just withdrew, and for a long time I just thought, you know, through those years, I was like, okay, I'm going to have to be on my own here. Also through our entire marriage, he does never discusses any plans with me. He has never, like, really built plans. They're kind of like on the fly out of necessity,
so,
but we don't build the future.
We get it. You guys, distant, he's been abusive, he doesn't regard you as a human being fully entitled to all the rights of humanity.
He doesn't know how to be a partner.
No. So what's the question for us?
I agree with that.
What's the question?
Separation. So I'm just trying to understand, when is there grounds for separation? And so we started going to counseling at our church. He made a decision. I kind of threw it out there a couple of years ago, and he finally made the decision, okay, I'll go to counseling with you. And I was shocked. I was like, oh, okay, this is awesome. And then when we got there, I just realized how angry I was and how bitter. So I just had to, like, cram all these feelings I had into some hidden place to function. So when we went to counseling, it just really started coming up. And I was surprised because I thought that I was so neutral on it that, you know, hey, I can just go in a positive direction.
So did you stay with counseling or not?
He announced, after we went three times, he said, you know, I really feel defeated when I go to counseling, and I feel like, you know, this is all this negative stuff is just about me, and you're not taking any responsibility, so I'm not going anymore.
All right, so what's the question for us? What is it you're hoping for us to tell you about? You got a bad situation.
So when is separation acceptable?
Okay, Mark, you want to weigh in on this first about what is acceptable, what isn't?
Yeah, this is a really hard question. I know a lot of people struggle with this, Sue. I think separation is often necessary when the other person doesn't want to participate in the marriage. And I think, Jill, you said this, it's a partnership thing, right? I have concerns about him being addicted to porn and getting through it on his own, quote unquote, and then not wanting to share with you. That's a huge red flag to me. I mean, how would you know?
Well, and that is just reflective of what you felt in the whole marriage, that he does everything on his own and he doesn't share anything.
Right.
Right?
Right. So he's closed off. He's using scripture against you. He's, for all we know, he's still addicted to porn. Mm-hmm. I think you have every right to be angry. I think you have every right to be angry. And sometimes, you know, our only option when we feel powerless is to empower ourselves and set a boundary and say, this is what I want in a relationship, because that's how a healthy relationship works. I hope that you'd want the same thing. And this is what I want us to do about it, because we can't do it by ourselves. He's tried everything. You've tried everything from within you. You need outside help. You need something like Restore.
Yeah, and here's the thing. When a husband, and I believe what you're saying, refuses to acknowledge you as an equal in the marriage and really kind of doesn't see you as fully in existence, kind of mm-hmm. you don't even exist in some ways in his mind. You're either there for him or you're not there at all. Sometimes you have to do things to establish the fact that you are a human being that can make tough choices. And sometimes the choice to separate is the first time a man like him ever comes to grips with the fact, oh my goodness, I didn't know this about her. I underestimated her, or I need to wake up here. Mm-hmm. So, but to have a separation without a plan is, I don't think, is a good thing. For instance, you need to, if you're going to separate, you need to say, I am going to separate, and here's what I will have to see before we get back together. And you have to make that really clear, and you have to not go back on your words once you're separated. So if you want him to go to every man's battle before you get back together, you make that criteria very, very clear. That's what you want. You quit using pornography, let's say, but you sure aren't growing, and you sure aren't respecting women the way men do when they get out of every man's battle. Jill, what are your thoughts?
Well, I agree with what you guys are saying, and I think that separation should be used for a purpose. But, Sue, you have to be prepared that once you go that route, some men will be so insulted by that that they will see it as a way out of the marriage. And so it may put him on the defensive, where instead of bringing him around, you have to be prepared that the marriage could dissipate, you know, could end in divorce.
The marriage that is already
but
over
it's already,
may
exactly.
be finalized.
Yes, yeah. that. Thank you. Thank you for that. But I think, yes, doing separation, and then maybe you have, okay, I'm going to separate for a month, and we're going to come back together, and we're going to talk or reflect. And I think adding in every man's battle, you going to restore. So here, when he says it's all about him, well, no, you're going to go get some help too. And then you guys do intimacy and marriage. And if he, you know, those are things where I think the immersion of a full weekend often helps people who are more resistant to therapy, or who kind of just, you know, can fudge a bit on an hour a week. And so it helps to jump start that healing mm-hmm. process.
Yeah, and that's
Mark,
what I meant
your thoughts?
Yeah, I meant to say intimacy and marriage and yes. not restore. And I think you're hitting on something there, Jill, is that that's one thing that people struggle with a lot, I find. It's, well, what if I set this boundary and then my marriage it disintegrates? The thing is I think if separating is not the last straw for somebody to turn things around, you're probably just speeding up what is the inevitable.
Yes,
anyway.
That's true. That's a good point.
So I hope that you would go to him and say this before you separate. I'm going to separate. But the least you could do is go to this weekend with me. If you go to this weekend, intimacy and marriage, I will delay this separation, hoping that something good could come from that. Because, you know, this intensive intimacy and marriage, Sue, it really does help situations like yours completely turn around. Because you know what happens? He gets confronted with and encouraged by both other men. So they will encourage him, but they'll also say, hey, dude, I mean, I one of my favorite stories, a guy said to his group, you know, I'm here for her. I'm hoping that she gets over her resentment. And they said, what are you talking about? You are the most dismissive man we have ever seen. Do you realize you walk 2 feet in front of your wife? She doesn't even exist in your mind. I'm telling you, the last day testimonies, he was up there crying, she was mm-hmm. crying. It changed everything. And it wouldn't have happened if he hadn't been in that group. So I'm hoping you'll go. Let's see if we can get you in. See if he'll respond to that. That's really the answer. And, you know, I've told you before, I'm 100%. No person that I've ever given that advice to, the least you could do, you go say to the other person, the least you could do is go to this. None of those people are divorced. Really happy about that. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we would love to help you. Let's go to Beverly, Dallas, Texas, KWRD. Hi, Beverly. How are you? Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard. Mark Cameron, how could we help you today? Hi.
I really have a hard time trying to articulate the question.
Okay.
My husband died of colon cancer 8 months ago. We were married 43 years. And we did everything that we knew how to do according, to the Bible. We anointed with oil. We laid on hands. We prayed. We took medicine, and we did everything. We asked God to heal him and all this kind of stuff, but he died anyway. And so because he died, I've come to the conclusion that I was in error, because I believed that God would heal him because of what it says in the Bible to do, but God knew that he absolutely was not going to heal him. So he couldn't have told me to pray for his healing, or that would make him a liar, and I know he's not. So the error has to be mine for not listening. So,
But Beverly,
I know all the cliches and pray without ceasing and all
that. No. But what
wait,
I was going to say,
wait a second,
Beverly, what I was going to say is God did heal your husband, just not in the way you had hoped.
No. That's another cliche. I didn't ask for him to be healed in heaven. I asked him to be healed on earth and laid hands on him and did everything that I believed. So he did not do it. My husband died of colon cancer, a painful, horrible death. So God did not heal him on earth, and I was wrong for believing he would, because he knew he wouldn't. So it had to be me, instead of me saying, God, are you going to heal him? And God says, no, I'm not. And I could spend the rest of his time just trying to, love on him and trying to fix him or whatever.
Did you have a question for us, or did you just want to tell us how you felt about all this? Because it's very painful.
Well, my question is, are we in error in the way we pray when we believe something that God knows he's not going to do?
Well, let me share something with you.
More clearly.
You used a phrase that he died anyway, right?
On earth, yeah. Yes.
You know who else died?
I know
died?
We're all going to die.
Okay. You know who else died anyway? Lazarus.
Lazarus.
Jesus raised him from the dead. But Lazarus isn't walking around today, because later on he died anyway. And I'm sure when he died, everybody was standing around going, well, you think he's gone for good here? Is he coming back again? I mean, it's probably confusing. But my point is this, that people don't die because somebody made a mistake. People die because you're saying that if you had prayed in a different way or hadn't been wrong.
No.
What are you saying?
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay, what are you saying?
What I'm saying is I prayed according to what the Bible says to pray for healing and anointing, doing all these things.
Mm-hmm.
But God knew he wasn't going to heal him, so I really shouldn't have prayed those things, because God knew he wasn't. I should have asked God something else. God, are you going to heal him? And then if God would say no, then I go, okay, then I will, we'll deal with this another way. I'm not going to expect a miracle, because God, you're not going to give me one. So
Here's the thing.
I felt like I was.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Is physical healing the only kind of healing that God heals?
Physical
I don't think
healing
so.
Is the one we asked for, not the him. I knew he was going to heaven when he died, whether he was 63 or 103.
What if God was saying that he would heal him emotionally, spiritually, in some other deeper way than you could ever even know that he was healing
him? Then I would have appreciated if God would have just told me that and said, I'm going to heal him spiritually and mentally, but I'm not going to let his body live.
So,
okay.
Beverly, you're mad at God.
It sounds
like you're angry.
No.
Okay, but you're right. You could have prayed that way. You could have asked God, are you going to heal him or not? You could have said, Lord, we want healing, but your will be done. Sure, there's lots of different ways to pray, but we get fixated on what we want, and we don't understand why God wouldn't want that too. And so we seek out the verses and things, and we say, okay, God's going to do a miracle. But God doesn't always work according to exactly how we pray, right?
Well,
it's his will.
And so many times, prayer is about us changing.
Right.
Us getting in a position where we surrender to God. You pray for His healing because you realize God's the only one that's going to make a difference if it's to be made.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and, well, this is just a really tough call. And our call is gone, I think.
But we lose Beverly?
I don't see her there.
Well, I think, Mark, you had some things to share, and I think it would be good, hopefully, Beverly's listening.
Yeah, I hope you're still listening, Beverly, and if not, I think this is a question that a lot of people struggle with, and I feel for Beverly, because it's a hard question, right? She read the Bible, and she, you know, followed the formula, and it didn't work, right? And she was let down. And I think it's, you know, she said she heard all the cliches, and I didn't want to give her another cliche. But what I wonder for you, Beverly, if you're still listening, is I think your question really is, how do I know I can trust God and that He's faithful to take away my pain? And I wonder, Beverly, if that's because there was someone else in your life who you put your trust in, who you hoped, and there was a big disappointment, and it didn't work out for. And I wonder if figuring out that and learning how to understand that disappointment and reconcile that will help you ultimately be able to reconcile this. It's a really big question, and I really feel for you. I'm so sorry this happened.
Just because we're talking about people being healed and having cancer, and one of my favorite stories, most amazing stories, is I've told this before, man in Utah, atheist. Total atheist. He's in hospice. He has 14 brain tumors. They take him in for a final MRI just to see what's happening. He's about to die. They do the MRI, and of course the physician takes forever to come out and shakes his head and says, "I just don't understand it. You have no tumors. You have no cancer." Well, you see why I love that story? It wasn't about his faith. He didn't have any faith. God healed him. Now, a year later, he accepts Christ, and he's been in ministry ever since. That was God's plan for him. But sometimes we kind of judge people, well, he just didn't have enough faith for this person to be healed. This guy had no faith. So Johnny Erickson Tada not being physically healed while here is a great encouragement to folks who are also not healed, but they're involved in a church that might say, well, you're not healed because it's a matter of sin in your life. That's very sad to put that judgment on somebody. All right, let's go to Carrie, Colorado Springs, KGFD. Carrie, how are you today? How could we help? Carrie, Colorado Springs, KGFD. Are you there? Sometimes the program is so fascinating, people on hold will fall asleep, and then we never get to talk to them. All right, let's go to Jean, Dallas, Texas, KWRD. Hi, Jean, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, what's happening?
Well, I just returned from court with my granddaughter this morning, and she is now in jail. That's what's motivated me to call today. She was a top student. She's 22. I don't really know what turned her. I guess just the times, maybe. But she's been in school and college and working. She has been working at a restaurant where she makes good money. But, you know, it's popular. There's drinking going on there. She is the daughter of my son, who was a meth addict for 20 years. He and his wife both, and they were divorced.
Where was he? Where was he? Why were you there and he wasn't?
He works in Dallas, and he wasn't able to be there. She's living with us right now. He has a live-in girlfriend who has three daughters, one of the, she finally moved out. They don't, the daughters don't live there, but they're in and out a lot. She's, I think her heart has hurt because she feels she's been replaced somewhat. And I don't know if that's what's pushing her, you know, if that's, so my question, I guess, is, has to do with, that element. They have been together, my son and his girlfriend, for about 4 years. And, she, I knew had been, I felt her pain, and she's expressed it. I just feel like that they, it would be helpful to have, a family counseling session or something. I don't know if it could be. I've talked to my son before.
Okay, so this is really a sad situation, and I'm going to have Mark start us off here talking about what maybe you could do to help.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, Gene, what was your question? Did I miss it?
it's convoluted. I have a granddaughter who's just been sent to jail today. She's had charges earlier. She has been caught with cocaine possession. I had no idea that she had done that. She'd been drinking. I knew that. But I'm feeling that she's her pain, her what's pushing her into some of this is her her pain from her dad.
And I caught most of that. What was what was the specific question? If you could phrase it in a question.
What could I suggest? What do you guys think might be helpful to, you know, does the girlfriend move out? And I don't know. I think that's been a real issue with her.
Okay, let me think about that, and we'll get you right after this break, okay?
Yeah, we'll take a break. We'll come right back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we are back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and of course, Mark Cameron, who has the voice of royalty. Now, we're talking with Gene. Granddaughter, 22, in jail, and the son living with a girlfriend 4 years. And I think Gene wants to know what to do. So, Mark, what do you have for Gene?
Yeah, Gene, so we were talking a little bit about at the break. If your granddaughter's in jail, I'm not sure how much can be done unless, you know, she's able to get out and then wait on arraignment and trial and things like that. I think you're being a good grandma in the sense of wanting to come alongside and support your granddaughter because it sounds like she really hasn't had parents. I mean, she's physically had parents, but it doesn't sound like they've been available to parent her in a way that someone should be parented. And so it's no surprise that she's kind of following the footsteps of trying to medicate to try and find some kind of relief. And so I think what it sounds like you know you're living in this tension. You're wanting to rescue. You're wanting to bring the family together. You're wanting to resolve it. And of course, we know that family counseling would be great, but that only works well if everybody is committed and willing to be involved in the process. And I'm not sure how committed your son may be. To doing this. And I think for you, what I would focus more on is your granddaughter. How can you get her into going to therapy if she's willing, coming alongside her and just supporting her?
Right. And where's her mom?
Yes, where is the
where
mom?
Where is her mom?
What's because she, mom should be pulled in if there's any good there.
Yeah, her mom is still in her addiction.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the whole side of the family is messed up, which is
right. So, Jean, I would do some reflecting too. I mean, you were the mother of this son who has a 20-year meth addiction. What now, from this vantage point, what do you wish you had done differently with him? What could you have done? Where were there some things that you overlooked or mistakes that were made? And you have another chance with this granddaughter. Mm-hmm. I would be visiting her in jail. I would be by her side every step of the way. I would be talking with her about some of your theories, right?
Like, right. She really won't be in jail, but probably 3 days she was out. She had today was a hearing to get court appointed attorney, and evidently she had a bond violation, and she had evidently been drinking.
Okay, so you're going to have access to her then.
Okay, so talking with her, sometimes, you know, talking about the pain from the past and understanding addiction that way can really be helpful to someone maybe not being as defensive. And to maybe looking into getting her some help for the addiction. Because I think in order for her to really process, there's got to be some intervention that way instead of the continued use.
And, you know, I would be saying to her, if I was talking to her, I would be saying to her, honey, what you've been through, who wouldn't want some kind of relief from that? Mm-hmm. And then you sought that relief, and then you got addicted to it. And so it's so sad what you had to go through. But anybody in that kind of situation might have done what you did. And so now let's try to get you out of the addiction and try to get you to a better place here, and I'm going to help you any way I can.
And Jean, I wouldn't necessarily bail her out of all of the consequences. I know sometimes it's hard to see our kids and loved ones hurt. I think it's better to walk alongside her through it.
Yeah, and I even think what happened today was another, just a good thing that it's even more emphasis. This is not the way to go. I'm just like I said, I'm glad that this has happened instead of way down the road or something worse.
I'm going to send you a couple of things here. I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible and a Life Recovery Workbook. And I was just reading about a woman. I think I may have even shared it yesterday. She was a stripper, goes to a 12-step group. They give her a Life Recovery Bible. Now she's working with the recovery ministry at a church, at a major denomination. So transformation can happen with God's truth, and I hope that this Bible could help lead her there. Speaking of leading, Larry Sonnenberg is quite the leader, the humble leader with wisdom beyond his age. Well, we used to say that. Larry, how are you today?
We're all getting older.
I'm doing good. You know, Steve, when I came into the studio here a few minutes ago, I looked up at the call screen board that's on display up here, and I just thought to myself, boy, there is a lot of pain up there.
There really is. Yep,
there's a lot of pain. Just a little hint of what the calls are about.
Yep, yep.
And, you know, we have a lot of guys with a lot of pain, and they're not wanting to come and deal with it at a workshop, and they should, October 7, 8, and 9. Every man's battle right here in Orange County. I want to read what James said to us. Coming into the weekend, I totally dreaded giving up a precious weekend to spend all that time with total strangers. I didn't want to admit or even mention anything about my secret life. I'd been so successful at keeping it all to myself that I thought I'd carry it to my grave. But after the initial few sessions, I sensed something stirring in my soul. A little Holy Spirit touch, maybe? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The chance to open up and let the dark shroud drop to the ground was such a relief. I also had no idea some of the experience from my youth could be so impactful to my present life.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, knowing that there's a better path, there's a lot of work going on in me. I'm much more willing to take the steps I need to be a better man and embrace God's plan for my life.
Yeah.
Guys, you can have that same experience. Drop the shroud. It'll be a relief. You don't believe it right now, but it will be. You'll share some things. Be transparent, and men will cry with you. They'll come around you. They'll understand you. And they'll laugh with you as time goes on.
They will.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the most meaningful times is people go up and their sins are written up, and they go through a process, and really it symbolizes that they're wiped out, forgiven. And then they come off that stage and you hear this padding. And the padding is on the back of those men. They're hugging.
Big hugs. Mm.
Everybody's hugging this guy, and you hear those pats on his back, very loud and strong. And those are healing times, because a man has repented and he's come back to the Lord. And you could be that man. And your husband, ladies, could be that man. You make the first call if he won't, and we'll help you get him here. And those of you who don't have that problem, or those who have been helped for the problem, please help us, help others, and support us in the great things that are going on. Anything else, Larry?
No, just thank you, everybody who is supporting and giving. It means a lot. It means that these people can go to workshops, this radio program goes on, and lives are different for it. So thank you.
And a gift of any amount, and we are going to send you 100 Days to Freedom from Shame. What a book it is. A great devotional, 100 Days, Freedom from Shame. Or, if you prefer, we could send you the one-year life recovery prayer devotional for you. Just call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Well, let's go back to the phones, and how about we go to Daniel, Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Daniel. How are you?
Hi there. I'm doing well myself.
Is it Danielle versus it's Danielle. Okay. Well, good to talk to you. How's life going for you?
It's doing well, I think.
Okay. Yeah. What's happening?
Yes. When I was 7, I was exposed to pornography, and I'm 31 now, so that's about 24 years of kind of an on-and-off relationship with it. And in 2020, I did go through a kind of women's recovery group because it had become more of an addiction.
Yeah.
And through that group, I realized I was using it to medicate a number of different things that were going on in my life, and also something I resorted to when I was stressed. During that time, I also became abstinent, so I've been abstinent for 12 years. And my question is, one of my, I guess, things I've been trying to think about is things that I need to address before I start to get into romantic relationships. And when I was in that program, one of the things I realized is that the type of pornography I gravitated to was typically between women. I don't have a same-sex attraction, but that is what I would watch when I did watch pornography. And I feel like part of it was because I have a bit of a mother wound as well, so I'm always kind of looking for nurture.
Does make
and so
some
I'm wondering
sense.
If that, yeah, so I'm wondering if that's something that I should spend more time doing, because, again, I've been having it, but I have no idea what's going to happen when I actually do get married, and I just worry that that might come back up and I haven't really resolved it.
Well, it's a great question. By the way, the surge in sexual addiction for women recently, well, it is nothing new. When our first treatment center opened 35 years ago, the first patient was a female sex addict. We had a whole section for sexual addiction back then.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and we're talking with Danielle. And Jill, what do you have to say for Danielle's
struggle? Thank you for your call and for sharing, because we don't have enough women who speak out about this. And I think that you already have a lot of insight into this. In the exposure to porn and then being attracted to female porn, versus, even though you're saying you don't have a same-sex attraction, you're right that it does have a lot to do with mother wounds. And I think even with female sexuality and women that go into a lesbian lifestyle, there's a lot about that connection and that intimacy and that womb-like merger that women long for. And it's really a lot about little girl needs and really being cared for and having that disconnect with mom. And so I think doing some work around that for you, digging in deeper and exploring that, it would be an important thing. Also, too, I think just like we women, and I hate to burst guys' bubbles, we tend to dress more for other women than men. There's a little bit of an identification, I think. And so women being sexual, we're kind of comparing ourselves and seeing how do we measure up, and could we then attract someone? And even though it's in a way that's a little perverted, right? It's not the way it's supposed to be. There is some of that that goes on in this.
And so I'm glad you're asking what impact that might have when you marry. Mark, what are you thinking here?
Yeah, I'm so glad you called in, Danielle, because I think at times we don't really think too much about pornography addiction in women. And I heard a stat, I can't remember where it's from, but not too long ago, about 30% of women in college actually use pornography. So it is pretty pervasive out there. But I think you've got some good insight here. You've realized that you know, watching women-on-women porn is some kind of skewed intimacy with women, and you've identified that root with your mother wound. And so, yeah, I think learning, I definitely do some therapy before going into a dating relationship and get in with a good therapist. And I know we can help you find one if you don't have one, and start to work through that. Because often, you know, you need that to learn how to be a mother too. Because oftentimes I think a lot of our skewed thinking is, hey, I didn't like what my parents did, so I'm going to do the opposite of that. And oftentimes I'll tell clients, hey, if you have a math problem and I show you the wrong way how to do it, do you know how to do the math problem? You don't. You know one wrong way of how to do the math problem, but you don't necessarily know the right way to do it.
And the opposite isn't necessarily the right way.
Right.
Right.
So what would be a book that would help her, and then let's help her find a counselor?
A book.
Okay, I got it. Well, I mean, really, it's how we love.
It's how we
love.
Because
that's
going to
help
you
explore the attachment or lack thereof with your mom. I think that'll be
well. And I think having a therapy relationship where there are healthy female boundaries is really important, and that is the basis then for moving on to an intimate relationship with a man.
Right.
And so you need to get that right first.
Right. So you might want to look for a female therapist to help you with that.
So what do you think about that, what we're saying here?
It definitely, sounds good. I definitely even want to move into something knowing that I would have more work to do. So, this is great. I'm definitely going to just start there.
Now, let me ask you a question. What is it that has helped you the most to maintain this abstinent life that you have?
The abstinence was easier because I didn't have great experiences when I was sexually active.
Uh-huh.
So it made it a lot easier to make that decision. And when I chose to do that, I was also rededicating my life to Christ. So it was kind of like I was raised where a whole year I didn't watch pornography. I was also abstinent. But after the year, life started to get, you know, more stressful and the pornography came back. I much kind of more myself more than anything else, but that was still constant. So I think, honestly, it was just bad experiences for the abstinence that made it easier.
And are you in any kind of supportive group of women now?
I'm not. There is one available that I can be a part of. I feel like sometimes I tend to overcommit to a lot of different things, and so right now I'm like in a worship leader program, and so I'm trying to carefully choose what I can do so I can actually show up and be present. But
well,
it
let
is
me
something
just,
that...
Yeah, let me say this. This is your future, it's your life, it's your heart. And I think no matter what else you're doing, your connection with other healthy women would really be a big help in you finding and dating the right kind of guy. Because so many women that are disconnected, they are dating the wrong guy, and there's nobody to tell them, hey, I understand what you see in this person, but you know, there's something else here. Or having women to say when you're ready to break up, well, wait a second, this is kind of a pattern here, and this is a really good guy, and maybe there's something else that could be done rather than just break up. We all need support, and then we can grow in that support of people same sex. Jill, thought here that you're having?
Well, I think, yes, this is all good, and I like that you're really thoughtful, Danielle, mm-hmm. and you're wanting to have a balanced life and just not jumping into everything. And I think in some of the other things you're doing, you can have female mentors and friendships where you really maintain some good boundaries. And just a reminder that our female friendships, or an emphasis, again, are the precursor to our intimate relationships. When we're little girls, we first are infatuated with our girlfriends, and then we move on. When they're not sexualized, we move on to intimacy with men.
And in this day and age, when you have an attraction to your best friend, rather than it just be a thing, well, you're told, well, if that's what you're feeling, then you must totally be bisexual, lesbian, whatever it is. And we're just
And it's not true. We've totally annihilated normal developmental mm-hmm. process.
Mm-hmm. Bill Maher said, you know, we hear somebody saying, I want to be this or that, and then they start getting surgery and all this. He said, you know, I wanted to be a pirate when I was a little child boy. And he said, I'm sure glad my parents never took me into peg leg replacement surgery or eye removal. I didn't know what I really wanted to be. Oh, my goodness. Well, Danielle, I'll certainly send you How We Love. I think that's going to give you some great insight. And let me send you Healing is a Choice, and I hope that can help you also. You know, honesty like hers and desire and willingness makes all the difference in the world. And I hope and pray that you're willing to do whatever you need to do, whatever God's leading you to do to get better. Every Man's Battle is October 7th, Orange County. Intimacy and Marriage, October 21st in Dallas. And Restore, November 11th. We're all going on, many of us are going to be leaving for a cruise on the Rhine River. We love to take our folks somewhere. This is the third year we've tried to do it. And we're finally going. COVID kind of knocked us out of that. And it's going to be exciting. You could still go if you wanted to. Just call 1-800-NEW-LINE. Lumina, November 3rd and 4th, selling out certain times. Please call and bring a friend. It's going to be a great, great time. Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's what we've done by having Jill and Mark today. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.